Our Old Testament reading for today begins with Isaiah experiencing an extraordinary vision. To see the Lord, to smell the smoke, to feel the ground shake under your feet, to taste that burning coal touch your lips, to hear the very voice of the Lord speak to you. I can't even imagine. But I do know that this had to be a complete sensory experience that Isaiah will never forget. This, as you can imagine, Isaiah witnessing the majesty of the Lord seated high and lifted up on his heavenly throne, the sound of the angelic voices singing all around him, the temple shaking with the almighty presence of God. This scene is picturing pure holiness, pure power, pure glory. Isaiah is called by God just as the country of Judah that had once experienced so much prosperity is in a state of decline. Their good king, Uzziah, had become arrogant, prideful. After being made king at the young age of 16, and having ruled wisely for many, many years, he has succumbed to pride and idolatry. Isaiah saw that King Uzziah tried to offer incense in the temple, a job reserved only for the priest. And because of his disobedience, the Lord struck him with leprosy, which meant that he was forever excluded from the temple, from the house of the Lord. Living in isolation, King Uzziah dies in shame. And as the country mourns the loss of their king, they face increasing instability, idolatry, and foreign enemies. Soon the Assyrians to the north would be a constant threat. What Isaiah needed, what the country needed, was to come to the realization of the depth of their sin, the depth of their rebellion, and repent so God would deliver them from their enemies and use them for his work. It is at this time that Isaiah experiences his vision. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. His very robe fills the temple. Above him are the seraphim, the six-winged angels of God. Scripture says that with two wings they covered their faces, two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. Here the burning ones, the very definition of the word seraphim, stand at the ready, serving God night and day. Their wings cover their eyes and their feet as an expression of humility and unworthiness. We see that even the seraphim view the Almighty as too holy to look at. And the song they sing reflect that holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The Trinity is praised by this angelic choir. The earth declares his glory, for it is God's theater. Their cries shake the temple. The smoke billows forth. Only the God of all creation is worthy of such adoration. As we look on with Isaiah, what is our reaction to seeing such a wonder? Do we join with the angels in their song of praise? Do we fall on our faces fearing the wrath of the Holy One? Do we echo Isaiah's confession at the realization of our complete depravity? Isaiah, recognizing his sinfulness, confesses, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah realizes that without direct intervention, he is doomed forever. We, like Isaiah, are sinners, unable to praise God, but even more than that, unable to see God and live. for even the seraphim veil their faces. Our guilt, like Isaiah's, must be atoned for, must be removed. Then one of the seraphim flew to Isaiah, touched his lips with a coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar of sacrifice for sin. For we know that for sin to be forgiven, a sacrifice must be made, blood must be shed. This burning coal was a declaration of God's forgiveness spoken by God's fiery messenger. Isaiah's guilt was taken away, his sin atoned for. Isaiah was visibly and tangibly cleansed of his sins. But what about us? What about our sin? Have we not also heard, seen, felt, tasted, and smelled our cleansing from sin just as certainly as Isaiah did? Was there not a day some time ago when one of God's messengers, taking water, poured it over our heads, declaring to us, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Is it not every Sunday when God's messenger stands before the very throne of God and announces, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? And do we not, during the preface to Holy Communion, echo the singing of the seraphim as we sing the Sanctus, Holy, Holy, Holy? After which that same messenger of God takes the sacrifice from the altar and gives it to you. That sacrifice touches your lips as he says, take, eat, for this is the very body of Christ given for you. Take, drink, for this is the very blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sin. It is here at that very climax of our worship service that we see our God in his service to us, high and lifted up as he comes to us in the sacramental union. Our vision every Sunday is just as real as Isaiah's, just as tangible, just as powerful, and just as moving. With his sin no longer an obstacle, Isaiah, with trembling lips, was ready to answer when the Lord asked, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? What Isaiah saw, what the Lord God did for him, and what he received from the Lord moved him to say, here I am, send me. Notice Isaiah didn't ask for a job description, a scope of work, or a time frame for his service. He just says, here I am, send me. God is still asking that same question today. Whom shall I send? Who will teach the kids in Sunday school? Who will serve on the board of directors or as an elder? Who will help with outreach and mission work? Who will encourage the next generation in the faith? Too often we respond with excuses like, I'm too busy, or I don't know enough, or I'm not good enough. Well, somebody else will do it. But God does not call us based on our self-perceived availability or our self-perceived ability. He calls us based on his grace. If he has cleansed you through Christ, he will equip you for his service. Like Isaiah, we must trust in God's power, not in our own. Our president, Bob King, will be forming a nominations committee this month to prepare for the upcoming elections in June. God is calling you to serve him right here at Grace, to serve your neighbor in the pew. Now is the time for you to consider what your answer will be. Now is the time to be bold like Isaiah and answer the Lord's calling by saying, here I am, send me. When God called Isaiah didn't know what the message was that he was going to preach, where he was to preach it, or for how long he was to serve. But he volunteered anyway. He did so because of this enormous gift of God's grace that had been given to him in that kiss of the burning coal. We too have received this same enormous gift. We may not be exactly sure what the Lord is calling us to do, where or for how long, but if we show that same willingness that Isaiah showed, that God who has created the universe and all that is in it will show us his will, calling and equipping us to do whatever he has in mind. So remember the readiness of Isaiah when you are asked if you are willing to serve. Together, let's echo the words of the great prophet and be eager to say along with him, "Here I am, send me." Amen.